We're going to take a short break. When we return, we'll take a look at the Lawrence Busker Festival. We've got a fire breather, a juggler, and a cowboy here to take your calls. Central Standard returns in just a moment. Welcome back to Central Standard. I'm Jeremy Bernfeld. Once a year, Lawrence, Kansas becomes one big stage for sidewalk performers of all kinds. The Lawrence Busker Festival is a celebration of an eclectic group of musicians, magicians, jugglers, and acrobats. If you can do it on a sidewalk and pass a hat for money, it's at the Lawrence Busker Festival. We've got a Wild West cowboy, a juggler, and even a fire eater here in the studio. We'll get to them in just a bit, but first, let's talk more about the festival. Richard Renner is the organizer of Lawrence Busker Fest. Thanks for coming in, Richard.
Hey, glad to be here.
So, first of all, what is a busker?
Busker. Well, it's these guys that no one can see right now, but it's a street performers. Busker comes from a, from what I've been told, it comes from a Spanish word, buscar, which means to seek. And it got translated into English as busker. And so buskers are basically looking for something, and chances are it's your money.
Usually it's your money.
Yeah.
So they're the sidewalk performers that we see often, musicians. They've got the guitar case open, and they're singing their heart out on the sidewalk.
That's the most, probably the most general kind of busker, but anyone with an unusual talent that people are willing to watch, and then they can formulate a show around that, then, yeah, anybody can be a busker.
So tell me a little bit more about Lawrence Busker Fest. You know, what is it? How many performers come into Lawrence?
Well, this is our sixth year, and we've got over 20 acts and five different stages, all three days, Friday through Sunday. Man, it just takes over downtown. We have a lot of people that just show up, performers that just show up that are unscheduled. And I just got a note today that there's going to be a guy standing on top of a pole.
How tall is the pole?
I don't know. Apparently, he's going to show up and try to create a show around that. So we get all that, and the downtown just becomes alive and crazy and energetic.
So how many of these guys are local talent? Do they come in from all over?
They do come in from all over, but I will tell you, the majority of our performers are local. We probably have five or six acts that come in from out of state, even internationally. But then, like I said, then we have acts that just show up, usually from St. Louis, Omaha, and Minneapolis, and places like that.
So it sounds like there's an eclectic group, but what kind of performances can one expect at the Busker Fest?
Well, like I said, if anybody can create a show around an oddball skill, then that's what they'll do. And we have one of our more famous performers is Mama Lou Strongwoman, who basically does a Coney Island sideshow kind of strongman act where she bends frying pans and rips up phone books and does human tug of war and things like that. We've got Pogo Dudes from L.A., and these guys are amazing. They're world record holder Pogo guys, and they do what I could best describe as trampoline tricks on pogo sticks. They jump over people and cars and each other, backflips, front flips, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And we got T. Texas Terry over here who does a Wild West comedy show. And he does it with guns and ropes and spinning and spitting and everything, man. Everything goes on in his show.
So we acts from all over doing all sorts of different things. Kansas City, have you ever been a busker? What was that like? Have you ever seen an amazing sideshow or sidewalk act? And what was that like? Give us a call. We're at 816-235-2888, 816-235-2888. Or you can post your comments on Twitter. We are at KCURCST. So let's bring in some of the performers now. Why don't we start with Terry DeVault. Terry is a full-time entertainer and comedy hypnotist. You'll see him this weekend at Busker Fest as T. Texas Terry, a Wild West cowboy. So, Terry, thanks for coming on.
Hey, whoopie-tie-yay-yay. I'm glad to be here.
Whoopie-tie-yay-yay.
It's cowboy talk for howdy.
Howdy. So, Terry, who is T. Texas Terry, and what's the act like?
Well, T. Texas Terry is a world-famous Wild West cowboy. I've been doing my act all around the world. I've performed in Singapore, Japan, England, Japan. Let's see. I've been to Japan 5 times, so I got to say it at least 5 times. And I toured with a country music group called Brooks & Dunn. They did a thing called the Neon Circus and Wild West Show, and I was the Wild West Show for Kix and Ronnie for 3 years. I do rope spinning, whip cracking, gun twirling, like in the old-time cowboy movie stars. I teach the kids a very important safety gun lesson to never touch or play with real guns and show them the difference between I have movie star guns. And so I do that when I've got family, you know, kids in the audience. But the adults are always impressed. They're like, man, you're better than Clint Eastwood and John Wayne spinning those guns. And then I end up cutting a flower in half out of my mouth with a bullwhip that travels faster than 745 mile an hour when a very tip breaks the sound barrier in midair.
That's a lot of confidence in yourself right there.
Well, if you look at the scar on the tip of my nose, I do tell kids that, and even adults go, man, that looks dangerous. And I tell them, check out the scar. And they're like, yeah, you're right.
That's for real. So how did you get into this performing life? You know, how did you start?
I think I was about 2 years old. My mom dropped me on my head, and I got up and said, hey, I'm going to be a clown. So that's what I did. I served a 4-year apprenticeship in the Sheet Metal Workers Local Number 2 here in Kansas City, and it's now called the Marriott Hotel. I think it is downtown. When they were building it, it was the Vista Hotel, and I was on the 23rd floor out of 32 or however many floors that went up, but about the 27th floor, I walked off the job, and not from the 27th floor. I told my company, I said, hey, I just found out Ringling Brothers Clown College starts next week. I'm loading up my 67 gold Cadillac hearse and went down to Venice, Florida, and walked in the day before it started and said, howdy, I'm a walk-on. I'm here to be a clown. And so I toured. I ended up going to Ringling Brothers Clown College in 1983. Out of 2,000 people that apply every year, 1983, they would take 60 maximum. They took 55 that year. 10 weeks later, we had 44 left. And out of those 44, they offered 14 people contracts, and I was one of them. So that's how I got started performing full time.
I want to bring in some of the other performers as well, but I can't let Clown College go. What do you do in Clown College? How does that, you know, what are the classes like?
It's amazing. It's very intensive. 10 hours a day, 6 days a week until about the last 3 weeks. Then you go 7 days a week and you get ready for the big grand gala performance where the owners of the circus at that time, Irvin and Kenneth Feld, they check out all the performers and then decide who they want to offer contracts. During the Clown College, you learn everything from stilt walking, which is what I did. I've been up 22 and a half feet in the air on stilts. That's where I actually learned a lot of my cowboy skills was from circus performers, rope spinning, whip cracking. And you learn how to put on clown makeup, how to make wardrobe costumes, and even how to throw pies properly. You got to throw a pie, you got to know how to do it right.
That sounds like a fun class.
Yeah.
Let's bring in Brian Wendling. You may know him as Bob the Juggler.
That you can call me anything you want. That's fine, yes.
We'll go with Bob the Juggler. So what's your act like?
I do a combination of juggling and audience interaction skills. And I don't have the extensive background that Terry has. I was listening. I was in awe just listening to his background right there. But I saw juggling when I was going to college up in Minnesota. And that was the germ to sort of learn juggling. And I was a very shy guy, and performing kind of fed that other side of my personality, and it kind of grew from there.
So you were a shy guy, and now you travel around performing. You know, how did you make that switch?
I worked with a group, some other guys up there. We had a group called Sideshow for about a dozen years, and they sort of, now that I look back on it, they protected me in a way. They were all the talkers, the lead guys, and that allowed me to grow within that environment. And by the time I had stopped working with them, I was able to do more on my own. And now, if you look at the difference between now and then, and I've looked at tapes, it's marked. You know, it's just a matter of confidence and maturity and not being afraid to fail. And when you're talking about street performing, that you can't be afraid to fail. Because every time, it could be great or it could suck. So you never know. And you just trust that it will turn out well.
So I imagine that even though you're not afraid to fail, you're practicing your juggling act constantly. You know, how many hours a day, or how does that work? How do you develop this act?
I work out probably 4 or 5 days a week if I'm not performing. Otherwise, I won't get a chance to.
Sorry. We have T-Texas Terry trying to put his cowboy hat on over his headphones.
Just to get a laugh.
It's a circus in here. It's really a circus.
Yeah, so, you know, and I'm older. I'm in my late 50s, and so I'm always developing new things and trying to keep the old skills that I have. But the part that really matters in the end, it doesn't matter what you do, though I care about my skills and I take pride in that. It's how you relate to the audience. If they like you, you can do anything. And that's true. If you come to the Street Performer Festival, your Busker Fest, you'll see people doing stuff. And if you like them, it doesn't matter what they do. You're along for the ride. And that's the best part of that whole experience.
We have another performer here, Rod Sipe. And Rod, you eat fire? Can that really be true?
Yes, it's true.
So, tell me about that. If someone comes to your fire eating act, what are they going to see?
Well, it's much more than just the fire eating. I am a fire eater, and that's what I'm most known for. But they're going to see me eat fire, transfer fire, spit a little fire out, do what I call the human volcano. But before we get to the big fire finish, there's going to be what's called the human blockhead. Some people who are into classic sideshow stunts will recognize that. Working on our new comedy routine. I'm also working this year with JC, the Painproof Girl, and she'll be walking barefoot across a bed of broken glass.
Wow. Ouch. I can't imagine practicing that act. Speaking of, I mean, fire eating, first of all, how do you get into that? And second of all, that sounds dangerous. I mean, have you ever burned yourself, I'd imagine?
Absolutely. Fire eaters are, I like to say they're like NASCAR drivers. You know, they all know they're going to hit the wall. They just don't know how hard. So all fire eaters know they're going to get burned. We just don't know how bad.
And have you had some notable issues with burning?
Only one serious injury to my hand when I was being careless and had a very serious burn. So I learned a lot from that. But, you know, you lose an eyebrow here and there and sometimes a vanishing mustache trick.
He's got no hair on his head either, by the way.
He didn't want to tell you that.
Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah, too much hairspray on a windy day, and boom, it was gone.
There it goes. So how do you teach yourself magic and fire eating?
Well, the magic I learned out of books, because I learned as a kid magician before the internet. So you learn out of books. Other magicians would mentor you. I came from a rural area, so there were no other magicians, so mainly out of books. Fire eating. I had a big interest in circus and circus sideshows because my folks owned a former circus winter quarters. So I had a real fascination with the circus and not so much the animals or the acrobats and the clowns, but the freak guy, the freak show guys, the fire eaters, magicians, sword swallowers, jugglers, Western arts guys, and I'm throwing a mime there too, include everybody. But that was my interest. And being a magician, young magician, I wanted to do a danger put danger in my act, and fire eating, I had a real desire, and I say, if you eat one torch, you're a fire eater. You may have a short career, you may retire early, but if you do it, you're a fire eater.
So, Richard, you're the organizer of Lawrence Busker Fest. Why create a festival for buskers? Why buskers?
Well, I have a performing background and done my share of street performing as well, but I was walking through downtown Lawrence after I moved back there. I went to school there, and I moved back there in 2002, and I was walking downtown, and I saw the usual array of guitarists with the case open. And then I walked by this girl that was just sitting on a curb shaking a set of maracas in an indiscriminate pattern and just shaking it and had a cup out. And I said to myself, I said, oh, we can do better than this. And I immediately went to the Downtown Lawrence Association, and I said, I've got this idea. And they said, cool, let's do it. And we did it in 2008 with a $2,000 budget. And I think even Brian was there, weren't you?
You know, I wanted to support it because I've seen him in Europe, and it's just, it was a great idea, Richard. Yeah.
Yeah. And Brian was there, but I wasn't there. I put it on, but I got it booked at another gig.
There you go.
The first year.
Really?
And Richard,
yeah.
I was actually there, yeah. Not invited, but just being a true busker, I just showed up and started busking.
Yeah, and I do invite people to, if they want to put on a show, you know, come and find your space in downtown Lawrence. Just don't use the spaces that we have already set up and scheduled.
Otherwise, you'll get whipped with a whip.
That's right.
Set on fire.
Set on fire.
Or drop a juggling club on your head.
I would pay to see that show.
That would be a great show.
Yeah.
Well, Kansas City, if you have questions for any of our performers, give us a call at 816-235-2888, 816-235-2888. But right now we've got a call. We've got Jake from South Kansas City. Hi, Jake.
A pleasant good day, folks, and it sounds like just a merry mess, you know.
It is. It is exactly that, Jake.
Two quick questions. Is this the Richard that had the block party with Truck Stop 3 or 4 months ago?
Yeah, it is. Were you at the party, Jake?
Yeah, okay.
Oh, were you the one that called the cops?
You owe him money, don't you, Richard?
I think I do.
So, Jake, do you have a question for these guys?
What kind of hassle?
Oh, we may have lost Jake, but I think he was touching on something that I wanted to get to. Surely you guys get hassled. You guys must get unruly crowd members. How do you deal with that? You know, is that a skill that you have to have as a busker?
Duct tape.
Duct tape.
Woo-hoo! Always keep a roll of duct tape in the back. But I mean, you're so close to the audience, and I think some people, I would assume, in this day and age, unfortunately, come in thinking, this guy's not going to get me. You know, I don't believe in magic. I'm not going to be wowed by this. So, you know, how do you deal with that?
You develop a real arsenal of weapons. And I use the word weapons, but you start off subtly and kindly, letting them know who's in charge, whose shows it is, and then you escalate it a little bit. And if you're a seasoned performer, you're going to win. The only thing is about sometimes you win, you lose. You're going to lose your audience. So you have to balance that of being in control but still being a nice guy. You know, we don't want to deliver a bad product. We don't want to have a bad show, and we don't want to let somebody cause that. I think a lot of times the audience will side with us, and we'll see the support they're giving us, and sometimes you don't even have to say anything. You just look at the audience, you look at whoever's hassling you, and the audience will just give them such a bad vibe they know to shut it down.
And part of it is that some people want to be part of the show, and sometimes that can be the most fun sometimes, but you have to find where that line is between them taking over for too long and versus having this special moment that you'll never have again. So, and that takes experience to kind of mm-hmm. know, because you can't control it all. And that's part of that whole thing. You have to understand what's going on, but you can't really control it, but you can guide where it's going.
Right. You mentioned that special moment. I mean, so much of this seems like it's improv, and obviously you guys spend hours and years practicing your acts, but that's almost to be prepared for the unexpected. So, you know, mm-hmm. maybe Terry, can you tell me a little bit about what that's like? You know, you go in knowing, I assume loosely, what the show's going to look like, but I'm sure each show is unique.
Yeah, every individual, you know, audience is an individual within themselves. And what I mean by that is just what we're talking about. Sometimes, like Brian Rod said, that you'll get these folks that you have to decide, are they just on too many painkillers and alcohol and you just want to get rid of them, or are they just there because they need a little attention and you're willing to play? And if they're willing to play, so yeah, from that aspect. And you go in with every audience just being open and having fun, just really, like, and they can tell it. Brian, like myself, Rob, people know, like, hey, we're here to just have a good time, man. Don't you want to come play with us and, you know, have fun with us at the show? And so a lot of that reads, it comes across that way.
So you mentioned you're here to have fun. I mean, you all have been performing for years. Is it still fun?
Oh, we hate our jobs. We hate our jobs.
Yeah. We just don't know how to quit. Yeah. That's all.
No, you have to love. And, you know, it's just like what you're doing. To do radio and everybody behind the scenes here, you have to love this job. I know. We all know that, because what we do here is we do it out of love. And it comes across. Yeah, you have your days where you go. I mean, there's years where I'm not at home. I've been on the road 227 days gone in a year. And so you that's a tough life in some ways. So you have to love what you're doing.
Well, what makes it unique is that when you're performing, you get that love immediately.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
in other jobs, you might get it in yearly evaluations. Mm-hmm. But no, we get evaluated and get that love immediately.
Or you get the hate.
Right, or you get the hate.
Or the rejection.
You suck.
Well, one of you talk about that? Is there a moment that sticks out as, oh boy, I just bombed?
I don't let that stick with me. I can probably make myself remember a handful of times or a dozen times in my career, but you walk away from it pretty quick. And the next show erases that memory of that bad experience.
Richard?
And we've all been performing long enough, I think we figured out we've got over 150 years in this room of performing experience. And we've all been performing long enough to know that, look, I've done this show. It works. You know, if you folks don't get it, well, meh.
Right. Years of honed training experience.
Yeah.
Rod, my producer tells me that there is a – you like to perform something live on the radio. Is
sure.
that right? So what exactly you're going to do is a surprise even to me. And I'm looking at my producer. I'm a little worried. He's giving me the thumbs up. This should be okay.
You're going to love it.
So what do you have in store for us today?
Well.
Okay. He's holding up a light bulb. He's turned it on. It's a working light bulb.
And I'm going to place it into a very expensive OSHA-approved protective cover.
Right. That's a plastic bag.
A Ziploc bag.
Exactly.
A little product placement going on there. I'm going to hand you the hammer.
Oh, I get to play with the hammer now.
And I'm going to have you strike that light bulb.
Okay, the light bulb is on, and you want me to hit the light bulb?
Go ahead.
Okay, here we go. There it goes.
What could go wrong?
It broke.
That's one way to put it.
All over the desk. Okay, in the bag.
There you go.
We've got shards of glass. Now what happens?
I'm going to have you reach in there and select a piece of glass for me.
Okay, so I'm going to pick a piece, any piece of glass here.
Sure.
Okay, here we go. All right. I picked out a jagged piece of glass.
Oh, nice.
And there you are.
No sympathy with this crew.
That's right.
I got to tell you, I haven't had any breakfast today. And being a fire eater, magician, sideshow guy, sometimes I will dine on sand, or commonly known glass.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry.
You're
it's my job.
You're going to eat the glass.
Watch.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. Tasty.
Oh, my goodness. Chomping away on the glass.
Corn
We're taking
flakes.
A lot of pictures.
Cornflakes.
Oh. Wow. Breakfast of champions. My goodness.
Mm. Don't be so stingy. Hand me another piece.
Oh, you're still hungry. Okay, another piece.
What kind of budget do you have for this show?
Oh, my goodness.
I'm glad I'm a juggler right now.
Yeah, that's right. Oh,
man, I'm getting hungry. Listening to this.
Wow, that is something that I don't. Oh, there it goes. It's all gone.
It's all gone.
I'm sure the board op is really enjoying this noise.
That's right. So
I don't want to be around later when
that shows. That's right. In. One of my greatest magic tricks is a couple days producing a chandelier. I had to say it, guys. Come on. You know I was going to.
We do things to amuse ourselves.
I worded that nicely, I've got to say.
Well done. Very impressed.
We're not going to go foul of FCC regulations. Thanks to you, Rod.
We're pros.
That.
Shard in, shard out.
Okay. So
Jeremy's eyes cannot, or his mind cannot believe what his eyes just saw.
That's just jealous. It's jealous.
He's just like frazzled.
I am, the all focus is gone. I don't even know. You mentioned you got to love what you do, and I never thought that I'd be here watching you eat glass in a radio studio. So.
And he loves it too, by the way.
That's right.
He's got a big smile
calorie.
On his face.
Low calorie. You see, I didn't use the frosted or the white bowl.
Yeah, no more calories.
Well, trying to go green.
So maybe not that, or perhaps that in particular, but how do you develop your act? I mean, surely over the last few decades, you have added, subtracted. Rod, I don't know if you want to start, or Terry, you're nodding your head. How do you come up with new ideas for an act or parts to add to your act?
I'll tell you, the best way, what I find, is the audience adds to your act.
Yes.
The more shows you do, you've done a few thousand shows, I would venture to say that each one of us has performed many thousands of shows, 10, 15,000 shows in our careers, and the audience will write the best lines for you. If you listen to your audience, they're going to tell you what to say.
So how do you mean exactly? How does that work?
Well, it's back and forth. When you're especially a live performance on the street, you can hear that. We're people watchers. I know I am. When I'm doing a show, I'm watching them as much as they're watching me.
Mm-hmm.
And I listen to them, and I hear what they say, and when I hear it, I try to remember it because I can bring it back, work it into the show, and some of the best lines come from them.
And Terry, you were nodding your head. You know, how do you develop your act? How did you come up with what to do initially, and how do you expand on that?
Well, it evolves. And as I said, my history, my particular journey was starting off with Ringling Brothers Circus. And so my cowboy show that I do today that I toured with Brooks and Dunn started on Ringling Brothers Circus. We did 550 shows a year, traveled 11 and a half months. And with that amount of time, you get a lot of time in, just like Rod and Brian have done. And you start off like I did, rope spinning and a little bit of this, a little bit of that. And I try some tricks, add some tricks. I do the most famous rope spinning trick of all, called the Texas Skip, where a guy takes a 25, 30 foot of rope, starts spinning it vertical and then jumping in and out. And that evolved, that, you know, like 5.5 years after I've been doing my T-Texas Terry Wild West show, that's when I finally started putting that into the show. So you work on tricks as you go in between towns and between shows, and then you'll start putting them in, and then the lines. A lot of people don't understand. You're looking at professional entertainers. You can have a juggler, a magician, a mime. You can
leave
have people that we give Richard a hard time because he's a comedy mime guy.
He's very funny, too.
Yeah, he's a great funny guy that
doesn't work so well for radio, unfortunately.
Yeah, he's been hilarious over here the whole day.
If you could only see it.
But the reason I said it, though, but what you're looking at, but we will first, the people in this room will first tell you, we're entertainers. When I've taught, because of my clown background, I've taught at University of Wisconsin, the clown college, clown camp, they call it. Whenever I teach around, we'll all three of us have taught juggling, magic, different things, our particular skills. I'll always ask, what's a synonym? When I used to teach about clowns, I'd ask the clown class, what's a synonym for clown? They tell you, oh, comedian, comic. They'll tell you all these words. They would never say entertainer all the years, and I'd always tell them, best synonym I can tell you is an entertainer. You have to be an entertainer first. That's what makes a professional, whether you're a magician, fire eater, a juggler. You can juggle 5 balls in the air, 5 clubs, do amazing stuff, but if you can't entertain and connect with your audience, people aren't going to stand and watch you. They're going to go, oh, that was great, but now it's been 15 seconds. I'm bored. What else are you going to do? Make me laugh or make me want to watch you. So we combine laughter with our show as we build up skills, and then people are going to go, oh, my goodness, by the time I – get ready to, I cut a flyer in half out of my hand and off the top of my head, and then and during my show I get some audience participants, but I'll have a guy out of the audience with be a trail boss, and I'm going to crack a flyer in half out of their mouth, and so then it's like, now they've got some daring, we've had some laughs, and now all of a sudden when I crack a whip behind their back and go, oh, now you see why you're holding that flyer, this isn't so funny now, is it?
Right.
You know, trail boss Bill. So that's how it evolves.
You know, Terry, you mentioned that you were on the road 200 plus days a year at one point. How do you make a living as a busker, as an entertainer, that's a lot more non-traditional?
Oh, well, it's simple. We all start out as millionaires, and when it's gone, we quit. You know, there's been more than one entertainer said, I ran out of money, so I got a real job. No, actually, I'm joking, and that's actually a compliment to everybody in this room. We are still making a living in this economy. When 911 hit, it hurt businesses. The first thing to go in a corporate budget is going to be entertainment. So, I mean, there's so many entertainers around the country that used to be full-time. They're out of the business, or they've got a real day job now to make a living to pay the bills. So when you can say that, yeah, I've been entertaining full-time since 1983 and never had a regular job, then you must have something going right. And so that's how it evolves. But there is, we get new young people want to become entertainers, and I tell them, show business. Remember, business has 8 letters, show has 4. You better be twice as good at your business as you are at the show part of it if you're going to be successful. And my hat, all of our hats will go off to Richard Renner. He organized the Busker Fest. He's been I always would travel around the country, around the world, and I'll say, yeah, there's a guy in the Midwest, Richard Renner, and he's an incredible guy. He'll book people. So he understands the business end. There's a lot of people like myself. I'm good at it. That's why I've got an office manager that really takes over and does the things that need to be done while I'm on the road. And then also we get booked by agents. But you have to be good at business in one form or another.
You know, we had a quick question come in online, and this is for you, Rod, after eating the glass. We had somebody want to know, do you have special teeth, or how's your dentist? How do they feel about that?
My teeth are fine, and they're the same ones I've had since childhood.
Out of a Cracker Jack box.
Yeah.
No, actually, I know what the caller's calling in. They want to know, is there like some trick, or does he have gold caps or nothing?
No.
It's like, nope. There's nothing in his mouth and regular teeth.
Is what it is.
Yeah.
If someone was interested in getting involved in this world of entertainers, you know, learning some of these skills, perhaps joining a circus, or generally just trying to make a living doing this kind of entertainment, you know, where would you recommend that they start?
Perform anywhere that you can. Whatever you can do, perform it anywhere that you can, whether you're talking on the street or nursing homes or a school or your friends or mm-hmm. your family mm-hmm. or anywhere you can go. Every time you perform, you learn a little bit. You write it down. You try to see what works, what doesn't. Over time, you acquire more. Your show gets longer and longer as you acquire more possibilities, and then you build that way. And then that's true for all of us. We're always trying to find some new niche, some new thing, because you get bored with it and your audience gets bored with it, because you have to, you know, entertain your audience. That's the key. So,
Richard,
I would also add that there is a large amount of groups available for people to join. There's aerial acts, there's burlesque acts, there's all these groups that you can join and you can learn from immediately mm-hmm. from people already performing.
Juggling clubs, magic clubs.
Yes.
I didn't know about the burlesque acts. I want to join those. Actually, and also the fast track, if folks want to learn how to be full-time professional entertainers, the best advice for the fast track would be to call the Richard, Rod, Brian, and Terry School of Performing Artists. And we do take credit cards. And for a $1,995 down payment, we will guarantee they'll...
I prefer cash, Jerry.
That's right.
I thought you accepted light bulbs as payment.
I will, yeah.
Hey, well, guys got to eat, right?
75 waters. That's right. I prefer 75 waters.
Terry, you already mentioned that you perform worldwide, but Rod, Brian, are there some cool places that you performed, especially busking-wise, that are memorable?
Sure. We're looking at each other just trying to decide which ones. Yeah.
I've done some European busking, not a lot, and I'm not... And to be honest, I wasn't the best at it, but it was the most fun. And there was a gentleman by the name of Arsène, a Parisian, who street performed with a lot of people in Paris. So I was in front of the Modern Arts Center, the Bobo, with all the tubes and stuff. And it was a great, great, great experience. And I have total respect for those that make their total living by busking. To get out there and create it from nothing, you just forget what that means, from nothing. And then you create the show. The best street performer I ever saw was a guy by the name of David Shiner, an American. He had like 1,000 people in the corner of the Bobo there. And then he also worked with Cirque du Soleil doing the same show he did there. He was an Italian clown kind of guy. And now he directed their last show, I think, there. So you never know anybody's story in the street. They could be a professional.
Working with the Cirque du Soleil and being out on the street.
Joshua Bell, the violinist, street performed in New York. They did a story about that. And they said, you know, people would walk by and they really didn't get what they were watching. And some people would look and they go, boy, he's really good. But you don't know anybody's story. Terry, you know, the Cirque, you don't know by looking. And that's part of it, is paying attention. Paying attention to what's out there. Did you have a story, Rod? I'm sorry.
Unfortunately, I actually need to cut you off. We're running out of time, and I apologize, but you can go see these guys all at Lawrence Busker Fest this weekend. I'd like to thank all of our guests, Richard Renner, Terry DeVolt, Rod Seip, and Brian Wendling from Lawrence Busker Fest. Thanks, you guys, for coming on.
You're welcome.
Thanks for having us.
As I said, the Lawrence Busker Festival starts tomorrow at 6 p.m. and runs through Sunday. You can find more information at lawrencebuskerfest.com.